Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today's March 17th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and it's going to be a great show. It seems like, in anticipation of the next week's show, the week gets longer and longer because I want to get back on the mic. I've got so much information to go over, and sometimes when I have all this information, time runs out so fast, but then when I'm lacking, it drags. You know, it's just it's Murphy's Law, Trey. So anyway, we got a lot going on. Before I start the day, I do my CEFCO coffee at Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. I get my premium Joe, Fresh Joe coffee. They also have got a special going on, two monsters for $4. So go there, check out the ladies and tell them you heard it on the radio, and go get your monster, your coffee, your smokes, your newspaper, whatever it takes to get your day going. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're simulcasting as well. We're on KMIL right now, 105.1 FM, and also in Rockdale on KRXT 98.5. Give us a call here at the Cameron Studios at 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. We got tons of videos. So go to Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel and also go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. A lot of good information going on there. We got a very action-packed show today. Let me tell you what's coming up. Today, three more stories, true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. These true stories teach us what to do and what not to do, so take notes on this. My licensed to carry attorney segment will be live this time. Attorney Benton Ross Watson had some car trouble last week, but he's going to be here this week, and we're going to be going over due justice and why it's necessary for everyone, even the bad guys, to get it. In the topic of interest section, I'll go over all upcoming dates and events at Aaron's that you can participate in. And today's tactical snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman will be talking about composting. What the heck is it? And how do you build a healthy pile? If you ask me, though, I think that topic, Trey, is a bunch of crap.
Dude, that really stank.
That's right. But I felt bad. I was texting with Janae, and usually I give her a little pun. And this one, I was thinking, what kind of pun can I give her on that one? So I figured it out. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the connoisseur of common sense, and the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight segment brought to you by ANC Firearms is the Uzi Pistol in 22 Long Rifle. Once again, another sexy, affordable, and fun-to-shoot gun from ANC Firearms. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, check out the Facebook page. You'll see me holding it there in a picture. And then call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to put yours on hold or buy it outright. We'll talk about it in the product spotlight segment. My special guest today is me. I want to go over the 10-step checklist when it comes to buying a handgun. Now, this is my checklist. I've built it up, and it seems to work pretty darn good. So if you're interested in buying a handgun, not really sure what to do, take notes on this. This will help you out. It pays to know before you buy. And depending on the time left, I may go over some other things of interest, too, that has been happening lately in the news. Then to close out the show, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will once again give us words of wisdom and tactics for self-defense with me as practice target. So get ready, sit down, crank up the volume, get your note-taking materials ready, and let's start the show. We're going to start off right now with stories, true stories of self-defense. And once again, this comes from the Concealed Carry magazine, the February-March issue. Story number one reads as follows. New Mexico convenience store clerk shoots armed robber. Hearing about nearby convenience stores being robbed, an Albuquerque woman carried a pistol with her when she was working the late shift at the Circle K. When an armed man entered the store, pointed his pistol at her face and demanded money, the armed clerk drew her own pistol and shot the robber in the torso. The clerk was not charged in the shooting, but listen to this. But her store suspended her for 2 weeks for carrying a pistol on the job. Here's my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a remarkable story for two reasons. One, the store clerk, and two, the robber. The robber, with a gun to the victim's face, still got shot by the victim. The victim, with a gun to her face, drew her weapon and shot the robber. Funny and excellent at the same time. Awesome job, store clerk. However, Circle K Corporation should be inundated with emails and phone calls saying that you're disgusted with their suspension of her for 2 weeks because she was self-defending herself, protecting herself with a firearm. And that goes to, I'll tell you what, all employers who do that, shame on you. You're so worried about your bottom dollar, your bottom line, insurance and all this kind of, shame on you. Just shame on you. That goes for anybody's employer, mine included. Story number two. Washington State homeowner captures wanted man. Seeing an unknown man standing outside his child's bedroom window one night, a Marysville homeowner and concealed carry permit holder drew his pistol and confronted the intruder, then held him at gunpoint for responding police. It turned out the intruder had four outstanding warrants for his arrest. Police said the homeowner did everything right. Here's my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if the man is an angel. If I had a daughter and some unknown was standing outside her bedroom window, I would have done the same thing. He's lucky the dad didn't do more. You agree with that, Trey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Story number three, and I love this story. Ladies and gentlemen, I love this story. Check this out. I love this story. You ready? Ohio Taco Bell employees defend against armed robber. Two armed and masked men attempted to rob a Cleveland Taco Bell at about 3:30 one morning and were unpleasantly surprised when three of the store employees drew guns and fired on them, killing one robber and putting the second to flight. The dead robber suffered six gunshot wounds. His accomplice was apparently uninjured. My commentary. I absolutely love this story. I really wish I was there to see it. And who says having a gun doesn't stop crime? Those people at those anti-gun rallies saying, good guy with a gun stops bad guy with a gun, we call BS, should watch the video on this one. Maybe they'll change their tone. Highly unlikely, but hopefully maybe. So I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Tear them up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would be remiss if I did not give you my opinion piece for this week. So I'm not going to let you down, and I do have my opinion piece. Today's opinion piece is titled, Trey, we're doing good on time, buddy. I'm right on track. Hey, Ross, what's going on? My opinion piece for this week, pets before family. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be a really good idea, if you haven't started with family yet, to have pets first instead of kids. It's like this. If you can't handle the responsibilities of taking care of an animal, then you're going to be in for a big, huge surprise when you start having kids. I think the biggest problem I've seen with someone, whether they have a child or pet, is the fact that the person or couple doesn't realize that their life is no longer their own. It's bad enough when you get married. When you get married, what is hers, and what is hers too. But when you have a child, the man gets disowned, and the wife, mother, changes her focus from couple thought process to nothing matters but the child. Now, of course, I'm over-dramatizing, but not really. Whether a pet or child, the time it takes from your personal time is tremendous and the responsibilities are increased. Add to all that the increase of expenses that it takes to support and take care of the pet or child. Many times it forces parents or pet owner to get a second job, which adds even more stress to the family home life, not to mention your personal time. I've seen people who wish to have these things, yet try to live as though they were still single and free. All that does is cause disappointment and strife. Disappointment to the child or pet because they know that they're just there, and strife because of the arguments that are sure to erupt due to the unstable lifestyle. Having a pet or child is not a feather in your cap. It's not an item on your bucket list. It's a lifelong responsibility and commitment. Even when the child leaves the nest, the strings of parenthood are still there. At least with a pet, the lifespan isn't as long, or an adoption to someone else more ready for the responsibility is easy to do as compared to adopting a child. But if you feel this pressing need, then get a pet. The acts of neglect to a child stays with a child usually forever and many times is carried on to the next generation. Having children is the ultimate blessing on this earth. You will live forever through your offspring. So if who you are is going to live on for a long time, take the time now to make sure that your seed is nurtured, raised properly, and raised with an excessive amount of love. Pet and child alike will love you for it, and so will the people they interact with. Now I'm going to brag on my kids. I'm going to brag and say that no one ever took a deep sigh when they were asked to babysit my kids. Now when it came to my pet, there may have been a little hesitation because I own a very large Doberman Pinscher. So take it from me, a man with a little experience raising kids and or pets. Be ready. Love them. Give them your time and be a good examples for them to follow. Trey, let's take it out with a break. And when we come back, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. And we're going to be talking about due justice and why it's necessary for everybody. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's March 17th, 2018, and to my left, I have the attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson. To my front, we got Trey Wallace. We're going to have a little discussion here on due justice and why it is necessary. And we just started off, we started debating already. As an example, somebody murders somebody, we'll say, and it's there, crystal clear on video. You can't miss it. You can't deny it. Why do we have to do due justice? So, with that topic start, Ross.
Well,
first of all, welcome to the show. I'm glad you can make it this week.
Glad to be back. Yeah, you know, it's I had some issues couple weekends in a row, but glad to be here. Happy and yeah, you had asked me 2 weeks ago about this. Why the hell do we go through the process the system when you have somebody that gets on tape or is on tape or, you know, just confesses to doing whatever it is that the police said they did. And why do we, you know, why do we waste our time and money and resources? And, you know, there's some truth to that. I guess there's an argument to, you know, why do we waste our time and money and resources and to not just string them up, you know, and just take them like the posse would do back in the old days. Well, there's that's part of the reason why we do go through the process, because we're no longer a posse justice type of system. But there's several other reasons, and we can start with some of those. And I don't want to talk about any. I think the example I gave you, I don't want to talk about that on the air. So let's just change some names and some charges and things that we spoke about.
Okay.
But, you know, there's been many different kinds of cases I've experienced in my own. Say you have somebody that's, you know, driving with a possession of marijuana in the car, and the police for some reason see this person, and they clearly see the person driving around, and they drive, have this person driving around for 10 minutes, and they see this person smoking marijuana. Well, you know, what is it about the case? You know, they got him on tape. It's no questions asked. You got him dead to rights. Why does Benton Watson still try the case?
That's a good question.
And I tell you, you know, I'm it's a loser, right?
I don't
and
know.
So
anymore.
In the case we talked about with you, I walked him, right? Walked him. Jury came back not guilty, and you're like, what? It's just, they got him on tape for 10 minutes breaking the law. Why does the jury come back not guilty? And we talked about that, right? I told you about some of the things the police officer did, like follow this individual around for over a 60 minute period. So you already had the police officer following him around way before the possession of marijuana. And then when he had the chance to arrest him, he didn't even arrest him right then. He took another call and then came back 30 minutes later when my client was out of the car sitting in the front yard, you know, and then tries to arrest him. Yeah, that's not okay.
Explain why, though.
Because the Fourth Amendment has a you don't have a warrant. You don't have a warrant for somebody's arrest. That means you have to see a crime being committed in your presence. There's some kind of urgency and immediacy to it. Think about it. If I look at you, and the judges are all politically bound, so the judge didn't suppress the case, but he did let it go to the jury. Okay, so the judge's not going to throw it out because of the immediacy that the police officer was supposed to use, because he did do it the same day. But let's take it a step further. Let's say I see you run a stop sign today, and then tomorrow, right, when you're going to work, I pull you over and arrest you. That's not okay. That's unreasonable.
Okay.
Do you think that's reasonable?
No, I don't.
That's not reasonable. I mean, that's in the, I mean, if you want to go get a warrant, that may be one thing. Go get a warrant and do it through the procedural process and give me some notice that, hey, I better not go to work. Right, I better call my boss and tell him I'm calling in because I'm going to have to turn myself in.
How does that fit in with, like, traffic cameras? Reviewing that.
Well, how many cases have been overturned in Dallas and Houston?
I have no idea.
A bunch.
Hey, can I interject with something here? Because I want to throw this into the mix, too. What if an attorney, any attorney, says, I know this guy's guilty, but are you going your obligation of making sure, even though you know he's guilty, to give him every possible right that he is allowed while still being guilty? Is that like a code of ethics?
Man, that busts open a whole Pandora's box. Yeah, but I'll just say this very quickly. Sometimes representing people's hard.
I can understand.
Okay. And
stuff is hard, man.
No, I mean, it's hard. It's hard from a moral, internal,
that's why I'm asking. That's why I'm
personal
asking.
Standpoint. It's also hard from
here's a perfect example. Somebody commits murder and they want to save him from the death chamber. Okay, the attorney knows he's guilty, so he's doing everything he possibly can or she possibly can to utilize the law to keep him from getting death as compared to life. So how does that work? How do you work that with that?
Hey, First John 2:1. We all have an advocate, right? Every one of us.
That's right.
In the last days, hopefully the worst of us are going to have an advocate. So if Jesus can advocate on our behalf, who am I to say that I can't advocate for somebody else?
Okay, that's powerful.
So I mean, if other than that fact, I still think that I have this just irritation to this to regulation and power and
sign everywhere.
And so even
maybe that should be a song.
A lot of times it's not about what my client did. It's just making sure the government plays the game fair.
And I got no problem with that.
And so sometimes
if there's rules to the game, they should not be twisted or cheated or manipulated.
And right, so sometimes I can justify a lot of the things that I do, not even based on what my client, who he is or what he did or what she did or what they're being accused of, but I don't even focus on them. My focus is look to the state and see what they're doing and see if they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing.
So it's less about defending them and more about making sure they have a level playing field.
That's what I got from that, yeah.
Yes, I'm saying that's sometimes I can do it that way without focusing
on the client. That helps kind of get the cognitive dissonance out of the way.
That more goes to pretrial. If you're trying a case like that, you want to know your client's story.
Because I know you mentioned a couple of times, sometimes you think you know a client's story, and all of a sudden, where'd this come from, right?
Yeah. But that's going to happen, I think, almost. I mean, you can sit there and talk to your client for hours and hours and hours, and then you go to trial, and then something comes up, and you just look at him like, dude, you did not tell me that.
And that won't look good in court either.
No.
I've always kind of wondered, is there some sort of ethical or moral obligation if you're told, as an officer of the court, hey, yeah, I straight up murdered all four of those people.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot disclose that fact. There becomes an issue when, let's say, he tells me he murdered all four people, and then during the middle of the trial, he tells me he wants to get on the stand and say he was at Luby's in Arizona when it all happened. At that point, what do you do? Can you let him? Because it's privilege. You can lose your license if you tell anybody that.
Wow. So what do you do?
But you also can't help stubborn perjury.
What do you do? Just walk off the case?
They've got several techniques. They've got several techniques. So
are they shareable to the audience, or there's like secret?
Let's not get into that.
Okay. All right. All right, so let's focus here. Do justice. So we've got people who look like they totally screwed up, and we're doing this. We're doing them, giving them due justice, because for one reason, I know if, God forbid, I ever get into that position, I want my due justice, right? So even though you got the bad guy, supposedly, quote unquote, he needs to have his due justice, which is only fair. And then
I think that's the key word, fair.
And then the law will figure out what's right and what's wrong.
Let me just say this. I do want to say, if that happens to me, right, if they want to testify to a lie that I know is a lie, I'm probably going to try to get off. Okay, but there are three ways to try to make that happen, and it's a whole Pandora's. It's a whole another. They've written books on this, so it's not that it's shady. It's just that they've written books on.
Have you ever experienced that? Can I ask that? Have you ever experienced something like that?
Science. No, not really. I've experienced where after the fact, like they say it, and I don't know at the time, but I find out later that it was a lie. Was I bound? I don't think I was bound to come back and clear up the record unless we're back in court testifying again. And luckily that's never happened. Like, it's been a quick hearing. Boom. For some reason we need to get in front of the judge quick. We got in front of the judge, and my client lied on the stand, right? But I didn't know anything about it, because it's a brand new case, right? And then later down the road, I find out that was not true. But luckily, we never had to go back to court, so I never got in the situation, do I correct this with the court, or do I change it? But yeah, this happens.
Gosh. This happens. Hey, let's flip this around. What if you get somebody, and they're convicted, and they're not guilty? How does that work?
Yeah, this is why we have the Innocence Project. This is why we go through due process. And so we talked about the police officer in that case. We talked about the length of the follow, I think, is what the scenario kind of made up here. Okay, and so then we talked about the other issue. There could be other things, like what if the police officer has a personal vendetta against the guy, maybe because of women, maybe over a sports bet. Maybe over just they play basketball.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I was back up in New York, I had an officer do that to me over a woman. And so it was pretty interesting. I was being stalked by this cop. It's just like, couldn't handle it.
Which is a lot of what it sounds like in the case that I'm talking about, right? So in that type of case, you know, the jury can see all this. And yeah, my client did it, but nothing about this was fair. Nothing about this was reasonable, right? And so we got to the point, this is what I was trying to tell you right in the end, a jury, and people don't know this, and I want to get this. If you hear anything from today's show, the thing to take away is juries have a right to negate or what we call nullify the law. You're going to go into a jury service, and you're going to hear these lawyers talk about, can you follow the law? Can you do this? Can you follow the law? You're going to have to commit to doing what the judge tells you to do in the jury charge. You got to do this. You have no other choice. It's illegal not to follow the law. But when it comes down to it, they're not going to tell you. What they're not going to tell you is, if you don't want to follow the law, you do not have to. And if you don't follow the law, there's absolutely nothing they can do about it.
Give us an example, please.
And so to do it from the standpoint of the state's favor is not smart, because the defendant always has a right to appeal this. Okay, but to do it from the standpoint of the state, you know, from the defendant's standpoint, in favor of the defendant. So let's say the jury finds, let's say in the example I gave, what was it, marijuana, I think I said. So let's say you have the person driving around for 20, 30, let's say 2 hours, smoking marijuana, and it's no question it's marijuana. And there's just no question. Boom, boom, boom. It's a done deal. If the jury wanted to, they could go in and say, you know what? Marijuana should be legal. This is dumb.
So they have pardon abilities.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing that's a good way to put it in layman's terms. I mean, yes.
Could a jury right from the get-go just sit in there and say, no, this is BS. We don't even want to go this far. Let the guy go. Can they do that?
Well, they have to wait till the end of the trial. But yeah, they can find not guilty.
Okay.
So you can find. Yeah. They do it. They've done it. They did it in. It was the 60s. There's a couple of famous cases about it. But Stone. They talk about it in some of the Supreme Court cases how there have been juries nullify the law. As far as slave cases were concerned, they, you know, slaves were accused of certain stuff. The jury said, this slavery's wrong. We're just not into this. And they found not guilty, or they didn't follow the law in the case simply because it was a slave case. Right? This goes back way. And there's nothing they could do. They can't throw you in jail. They can't do anything. There's a.
Hey, what about this one? Because we had talked, I think, Trey, you had mentioned this too. A guy rapes his daughter. Not a guy rapes his daughter. Some guy rapes some dude's daughter, and the rape is over, and the guy's away, and the father hunts him down and takes him down. Is that an episode where the jury can say, I felt for the man, there's a time to kill, like that movie, there's a time to kill,
yeah.
And they just let him go? Is that a
scenario? I mean, that's definitely why, right, we don't have the posse mentality, right? Because even though the father in your scenario or whoever may have had the posse mentality, right? We don't have the posse mentality because we want to make sure they go through the system, because I would think, I don't know that they would nullify the law in that situation, but I think that you definitely have a case where you could get the max, which would maybe be death potentially or 99 years in prison versus 10 years in prison, right? And I think that,
can't they also say you're guilty and you're totally guilty, you're wrong, but we're going to let you go? What do they call that? Commuting the...
They could say fine. They could say $10,000 fine.
So many ways, man. There's so many ways.
That's what I'm saying. They could.
That's why it pays to get a good attorney, right?
And that's what I'm saying. There's definitely a punishment issue, right? There's definitely a punishment, right, issue. I mean, you want to go through the process and let the jury hear everything so that... It may be that he's guilty, but just because he's guilty doesn't mean that he's deserving of the maximum.
So, somebody out there, 254-697-6633, give us a call. Give us some thoughts, questions, opinions on this topic. It's pretty interesting.
Does the judge have, like, an authority or ability to overrule the jury?
No, absolutely not. That's what I'm saying. A jury can nullify the law, and there's nothing. The state can't even appeal. The state, if it was a criminal
case... getting excited now.
If the case was a criminal case, the state would not even be able to appeal it. They would be done. It would be... It is what it is.
Because that falls under double jeopardy? Or being tried for the same crime?
No, the state can't appeal a case they lose. That's, why? How?
No, I don't know.
It's a not guilty verdict. It's done. Okay, I mean, there's no other case. Now, the criminal defendant can appeal that, right? Because that's their rights on the hook. Okay, they can always do that. And if the jury failed to follow the law in his case, right, in the state's favor, yes, you have an issue, right? You have an issue. You have insufficient evidence. You have factually insufficient evidence, right? They can nullify the law from the standpoint of the favorable to the defendant, but whether they can nullify the law in a way that's favorable,
they can't
to the
say
state is Ross, not the question.
No matter the situation of the individual and whatever it is they're being accused of, would this be a accurate description of a court, a chess game?
Oh yeah, but it's not even a court; it's a chess game from day one.
So it has nothing to do with right or wrong, black and white. It has to do with how you can outmaneuver.
No, it's all about right and wrong.
But the black and white turns gray. I've been sitting here with you guys, you and Rick, long enough to know that black and white has turned to gray.
Well, that's not always the lawyer's fault. A lot of that starts with the legislature.
No. I don't mean by the lawyer's fault.
No, the world is a messy place. There's not going to be very many cases where it is black or white.
Well, I could go to LTC law and say Penal Code 4603 clearly states that signage needs to be a certain way, and now I get a 33-year veteran from DPS saying, well, you know what the Ghostbuster sign means. You know what they're thinking. Just don't go in. And I'm like, what kind of attitude is that? And that's a whole other story. We got a call. Let's see who it is. Welcome to the show. It's Urban High Cap Adventure. Who we got on the line?
Hello?
Hello, yeah. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I would have to say not guilty and stand my ground.
Say that again now?
I said I would have to say if I was on that jury, I'd say not guilty and stand my ground.
And that's a big thing. We talk about to juries in voir dire, and during the course of the case, we talk about holding out. Are you strong enough to stand your ground? Are you brave enough sometimes to do it? Because sometimes saying not guilty is a hard thing to do politically and socially.
I appreciate the call. We're getting a little bit of feedback, so let's cut that down, and then we'll continue on the conversation. Thank you for the call. If you want to call, if somebody else has got a question, 254-697-6633, give us a call.
That is true. A lot of times you have to stand your ground. I mean, a lot of these guys...
I'll be honest with you, I couldn't understand his question, but you got it. What was the actual question he was asking?
He didn't. He just said, if I was on a jury like that, I'd stand my ground and say not guilty.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I think he's just trying to make a point. Like, yeah, it's difficult sometimes. You know, you've got to actually stand your ground. I want to get one other point out there before I go, if I could, maybe a second takeaway from today, and that would be false confessions. Just because you have a confession, somebody confessing to it, man, don't think, oh well, it's a done deal. I mean, there's so many. Times we can go back. You can go back and go on the Innocence Project website, and you can. And they have how many cases they've overturned, and percentage-wise. Now, the number one is, believe it or not, is eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness testimony is the most unreliable source of information that there is. I mean, period, point blank. People think, oh, did they see him do it? Well, it's done deal. Oh, dude, if all you got is one eyewitness, and I mean,
hold your thought, because I make that very clear in my class. If you're holding your ground and there's nobody there and you only got one witness, you get one story. But if you're on 5th and Main, the corner of 5th and Main, and hold your ground and you got 12 witnesses, each one's got a different vantage point, you're going to get a different answer, and you're going to get screwed. So you got to be very careful when you have your witnesses looking at you, right?
Yeah, but I'm in straight identification. How many, you would not believe, it's crazy. You would not believe how many people say, like, person X did it. And it's person A. I guess they're totally somebody else. I mean, there's so many of those cases. Eyewitness says, and it's different probably if you know the person. Like, if your friend is there as an eyewitness, because your friend knows who you are. Right? Actually knows, hey, I was there with him on this day. It was him. Right? But, you know, barring some kind of crazy conspiracy theory, it's probably you. Right? Because that your friends and that they were with. But other than that, like, let's say false confessions, they make up, like, the second most... Right, reason why people get unlawfully convicted, and you think that sometimes the police don't act just outrageously,
like a coercion. But they don't.
Sometimes they don't have to beat people though to make them falsely confess. So, sometimes police are smart. They're smart, dude. I mean, police when I say that, I'm gonna retract that statement. Just like no, but police make good maneuvers a lot of times. There are a lot of times police make smart moves, and they just get these guys. They just get these guys to say dumb stuff that really is not true, and we can prove that these are false confessions because they'll say, "Oh yeah, I raped the person," because they're scared to death, right? And then we go and we find DNA evidence showing that it was somebody else, and there's a receipt for this guy that he wasn't even in the state. I don't even know how these cases happen, but they happen.
When that happens, and you get somebody thrown in jail for years because, whatever reason they got convicted, but they're not guilty. How do you make up for that? How does the state make up for that?
There are civil penalties. You can they actually, for somebody that's acquitted on actual innocence, has a right to sue the state for funds. It's not a lot. I mean, what is it? I mean, the funds that they're allowed to have a cap, and I can't remember that number, but they're allowed to.
Oh, I'd be angry.
But the state says, hey, we've got a fund available for you guys when you get out. If you actually are acquitted based on actual innocence, right, file a petition, right, and we'll help you. We'll help compensate you for some of that time. And that's only fair, right?
I'm surprised that you even have to do that. If they're going through the system, say, oops, he's innocent. We found out we need to take care of this guy. Why does he have to fill out the petition? You'd think that the state would go, let's fix up this guy. Let's, you know, make him happy.
Well, the state's not going to do your rights for you. They're not going to exercise your rights for you. You're going to have to exercise your own rights.
Okay. All right. The number is 254-697-6633. Trey, you got another angle on this?
I'm still baffled by the whole false confession thing. I mean, I can't. And that's just from a personal viewpoint. I can't fathom admitting to something I didn't do.
Me either, but yeah,
I mean, like,
it's crazy.
I mean, especially something like, you know, murder or rape or something like, hey, no, I didn't do that stuff. And then, I mean, they're beating on me with a heavy flashlight. No, still do it. Ouch, that hurts, but no, I didn't do it.
We talk about personalities. We talk about body language, all that kind of stuff. If I'm looking at an individual and you can see this guy is crazy with innocence, he's like, I'm not guilty. You got to be able to read that.
Well, so there's several factors that come into play. And I mean, my girlfriend's always, you know, I talk about her from time to time. She's in pharmacy school. And so, and she's always saying I know, she's always saying what people are doing by not making sense and I just keep telling her, like, you seriously overestimate the intelligence of society.
You got that right.
Okay, one of the number one rules, like, is your attorney, stupid people make you money. Okay? Okay? And that's just the truth. Like, yes, the people in this room, I don't know that we're geniuses, but I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that are not as smart as we are, okay? And there are a lot of people that don't understand some things. And there are a lot of people, especially when you talk about racial, you know, minority type of issues, ethnical issues. You talk about in places where you may have a situation. You know, I mean, how many times we've seen there being a target, right, on a certain individual class or group within the community, and to say that those things don't happen, they do happen.
Bless you, Trey. You done?
I think so.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, those things happen, right? Those exist. And so if you put some of those together, not the smartest guy in the world, right, and is scared based on some kind of being in some kind of group, and that's not necessarily racial, right? You could have a trailer park that has Mexican, Black, white people all in it, but that is constantly targeted by the police. So that could be any race, not necessarily race, right? So you have that, you have a person that's in a group that's constantly targeted, and then you have that person maybe also falling into a minority category. And they may just admit to whatever the police want them to admit to just to get out of there alive. You know, and it may not be a realistic fear, right? The cops may not have been going to do anything, but this happens.
Ross,
it's crazy.
Ross, what makes a good attorney and what makes a bad attorney?
I think a good attorney understands your client's story and is willing to go in and advocate for that on behalf of that story.
I'm going to
tell their story.
I'm going to ask a question, and it's already obvious what the answer is because of you sitting next to me, but does it take time for an attorney to learn all the things? Obviously, you haven't been in as long as Rick, but you're aggressive and you're sharp and you know your stuff, but, I mean, is it more what you just said, or is it more you got to know all the little tricks of the law to make it work better for your client?
I mean, there's definitely tricks. Like I said, we talked about the golden nuggets or whatever we did today. Yeah. There's definitely tricks, and the whole point to have an attorney is to make sure that you don't get hung up by those tricks bought from another lawyer. Okay, but if you have two good lawyers involved, right, normally it's just going to come down to knowing your client's story and making the best chess moves about telling that story and making sure that you're able to tell the full story by the time that you get into court in front of a jury or a judge.
Okay, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to do this fast. Later on in the show, I'm going to be doing about a 10-point checklist on how to buy a handgun. I've been doing this for years. I've got it down. I'm very good at it, but I break it down into a simple format of what I give them a card. Here's what you need to do if you're going to buy a gun. Is there something you could say, let me 5 points that you should ask or look for on an attorney to make sure? I mean, use yourself, because I know you're hungry, you're aggressive, you know the law. I know you do. I mean, I can see it. When you're here talking, you just... I mean, I know Rick's one of those guys. He's just like, it's all in his brain, man. He's got these volumes of books.
Years of experience always make a difference. That's the first thing I'd ask, you know, and that goes against me. But like I said, it's not the only factor. Okay. It's years of experience, right? Do you do this kind of law? Right. Have you tried a case? Have you tried a case in this kind of law before? Or do you know how to try a case? Okay. And then maybe I'd ask, do you usually represent people on my side or the other side? Because if there's a government lawyer for most of your life, that could or could not hurt you. I think it just matters. You're going to need to talk to the attorney. Okay. And then obviously number five is, what's the fee?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So how stupid were you, and how much is it going
to
cost?
It may be helpful to turn number five to the first one, but I hate to put money on it, because an attorney's expensive.
Well, but that's the fact of the matter, so you have to bring that in there.
It is, but that's why I keep it last. I want to, you know, I don't want you to waste your time if you don't think you can afford them at all. That's true too. But maybe, you know, you might want to pay that additional money if you think that he's the right attorney for you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this segment is sponsored by Copeland & Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and we can't thank them enough. Rick,
yeah,
thank
Rick,
you very much.
Rick.
And we got you, Ross. You're awesome, too. So tell everybody how to get a hold of you, too.
105 East Main Street, Big Milk Cow on the side. Adding on to the building, actually. Might look a little different here the next few weeks. But then you can call me, 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Or email me at benton@watson.legal. Thank you, Rick Dodd. You the man.
All right, we'll see you on the other side, everybody.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, the number here is 254-697-6633. Email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. That last segment we had with Ross, we'll have that on the YouTube channel. It's excellent reference material. If you go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, I got videos galore of all sorts of topics, license to carry, anything you can think of, basically, when it comes to the law. We've been doing this for so long. How long have we been doing this? Almost 3 years, Trey?
That's about right.
Yeah, it's going quite a long time. But anyway, let me tell you what's coming up here. Last night, actually, was ladies' night. We had some ladies come to the range. Had a good time. Everybody doing some good shooting. A lot of fun. Third Fridays of the month is ladies' night. So whoever you are, whatever you refer to, if you bring a woman, she gets to shoot. Her range time is free. Now, next Saturday, I'm pretty excited about this because we have our in-house legal alien, Zoltan Varga. He's going to be giving us a comparison between the AR and the AK. And you always hear that debate, which one's better, right? So Zoli has worked them both. He knows them inside and out, and he's going to give us very good information when it comes to that. So really, pay attention to next week. Make sure you're here, and that interview will start right at about 11:30. Also, coming up on the dates, for some of us, this is important. March 25th is Palm Sunday. March 30th is Good Friday, and March 31st is Passover, and April 1st is Easter. And no, I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. It's not an April Fool's joke. April 1st is Easter. Now, the first Fridays of the month are two for night. You come in, and whoever you're with gets to shoot free. So instead of being $20 for two people, it'd be $10. And then the second Fridays of the month is our round robin. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is if you have a firearm for self-defense to start competing in our round robins. Trust me. If you start shooting at the range, Aaron's Gun Shop range, for a month or two and compete in two or three competitions, you're going to get very good. I've got some nice young ladies starting to do it now. And man, they were kicking some serious butt. They did a fantastic job. And I can't wait. One or two more, I bet you they're going to start winning. Seminars. We've got seminars for basically anything. Give me a call. License to carry class. We're going to be setting up another date for a license to carry class. I just got to check out the calendar, make sure we got an open date for it. So go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the LTC page. And when we have a date, it'll be posted there. You can purchase your seat online or give me a call or whatever. It's $60 for the class. If you have a license to carry already, it behooves you to do a refresher course. And my refresher course is, while we're doing the license to carry, is $40. Okay, it's a little bit less because I don't have to do paperwork on you. But it's very beneficial to go over the laws again, refresh yourself, knowing how to use your weapon, etc., etc. And let's see, the seminars, like I said, we've got everything from home invasion, self-defense, shotgun, AR, automatic rifle, the whole works. And you know, I heard somebody say fully semi-automatic. What an idiot. Fully semi-automatic.
Semi-automatic.
Yeah, that just tells you they don't know what to talk about. Anyway, okay. Trey, I think we're going to set up for Janae. Ladies and gentlemen, we got the delicious Janae Goodman with another tactical snacking segment. But this week, it's composting. What the heck is it? How to build a healthy compost pile and the compost cans and cannots. this is going to be interesting. I've never really gotten into it. I've always heard about it, and I always hear how it's good. So let's see what Janae's got. Very important prepper. So check it out. As always, Janae's got, she's on her game. So let's go ahead and play Janae. And let's see what she's got.
Hello, my lovelies, and a happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I've got some composting tips to help you stay green. If you missed last week's segment about sprucing up your garden for spring, be sure to check it out at thecultivatedclassroom.com. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. What on earth is compost? If you're keen on gardening, chances are that you've heard the word, but I can still help you out with a formal definition. Compost is decayed organic material that can be used as plant fertilizer. It is a pile made up of mostly plant and raw food materials, and there are a handful of things to do to ensure your compost pile is hot, heaping, and healthy. For starters, what can you compost? Plant materials such as tree bark, broken down sticks, and withered crops, fruit and veggie scraps, or things like leafy tops or peels or stems, eggshells, some paper-based materials, which include coffee filters, paper bags, newspapers, and shredded cardboard. You can also do loose coffee grounds and tea leaves, or waste from herbivorous animals, such as horses, chickens, and rabbits. Remember to break down larger items like sticks and cardboard to avoid a longer breakdown time of your compost. Along with that list comes a number of items that you do not want to introduce to your compost pile. Things such as meat and fish, or waste from carnivorous animals, this includes dogs and cats, milk or dairy, whole eggs, remember only the eggshells, cooked food and leftovers, and glossy and ink-based paper. That includes stickers you find on your produce. Plastic and glass do not break down, so be sure to leave those in a recycling bin instead. You'll also want to avoid adding any large amount of citrus peels. Avoid adding treated wood and synthetic or chemical-based fertilizers as well. Citrus peels can ward off any insects that you need to make your compost pile thrive. Meats and dairy can add quite a stench when they decompose. They also attract unwanted rodents to your compost, meaning potential diseases and unwanted bacteria that's passed on to you. Man-altered materials such as glossy and ink-based papers carry chemicals, this of course being the same issue with synthetic fertilizers and chemical-based pesticides. Newspaper is safe because most of them are printed using a soybean oil-based ink. You must remember that compost will be used to make recycled soil, so you don't want to introduce chemicals or rodents to your crops. Don't introduce them to your organic matter pile. If you're looking at starting a compost pile at home, you'll want to start directly on Mother Nature. This allows for beneficial insects to find their way to your pile. Next, stack a layer of sticks and twigs, which allows your pile to drain water and allows for aeration. Then, you'll want to alternate between green and brown layers. The green layers are made up of living organic materials, such as grass clippings or those food scraps and withered plants we mentioned earlier. The brown layers are comprised of items like hay, dried leaves, tree bark, basically any dry organic plant materials. When you're done alternating between the green and the brown layers, water it plenty. Your compost should be moist, but it should not be continuously soaked. Overwatering will cause your pile to rot in all the wrong ways. Keeping too dry of a compost pile, however, will elongate the amount of time that it takes for your pile to break down, so be sure to incorporate water occasionally or put it in a place that it gets ample rain. Once it's nice and finely watered, cover your compost. You can do so with a tarp, wood slats, plastic sheets, or whatever you may have on hand. You'll also want to turn your compost pile every few weeks. This means that you take a large shovel or a pitchfork and toss your materials around like a salad. This allows for air to be introduced to your pile, meaning that items break down just a tad bit faster. When adding new items to your compost, be sure to cover them with existing compost layers. There's no need to layer new items, but you don't want to attract fruit flies or any other rodents. If a pile seems like an eyesore and you lack the room for one, you can always opt for a compost barrel instead. Compost barrels or tumblers are handy because they make it easy to incorporate new material into your compost. Not to mention that they're less work when it comes to aerating. Plus, if you have some energetic kids around, they love helping you spin the barrel. A healthy compost pile should incorporate FBI. If the feds are knocking at your door, I hate to break it to you, but it has nothing to do with your composting skills. We're talking about fungi, bacteria, and invertebrates. Mold and mushrooms are wonderful for breaking down organic materials because of a natural enzyme they possess. Bacteria warms up your compost pile, and as bacteria breaks down organic matter, nutrients are released into the compost. Invertebrates, or animals that don't have backbones, allow air into your organic matter while also breaking down materials by eating them. Composting comes with a heap of benefits. Primarily, adding compost to your soil gives your crops a boost of nutrients. It also attracts beneficial bugs to your garden beds. This includes worms, beetles, and spiders. Lastly, composting allows you to recycle food regardless of if you have a garden or not. Studies have shown that composting can actually eliminate up to 30% of waste in your home trash can, and that means less waste overall. So whether you're a green thumb gardener or not, I encourage you to compost. Be sure to drop a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you wish to inquire more about composting or kitchen skills. Be safe, enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show this morning on the wonderful day of St. Patrick's. I wish all of you Irish out there, all you Irish wannabes, a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'll leave you with a couple of ideas we go into this today. One thing is, may your thoughts be as glad as shamrocks, may your heart be as light as a song, and may each day bring you bright hours. Let's stay with you all year long. Remember that want to be Irish people and those who are Irish, remember Aaron Gobrah. But today what I thought we'd talk about is we'd talk a little bit about some impending things that are going to be happening. You know, if you watched the weather forecast this morning, you saw that we have a potential of some severe storms after lunch. And then maybe some tomorrow, and we're getting that time of the year today. You know, the last few years have been very calm for Central Texas. Everybody knows that. 2 or 3 years ago, it was a severe storm in Central Texas. And during that time, there was a small tornado that took out part of North Bynum County. And unfortunately, someone did lose their life. What we need to do, though, we need to learn that as we turn into spring from winter, you know, we can't stop the inevitable. We're going to have storms. We're going to have to plan for it. We're going to prepare for it. You know, I had a friend one time that asked me why I bought auto insurance. He said, I've never bought car insurance, despite the fact it's against the law. But he said he never bought car insurance. The reason he didn't buy car insurance, he said, was, why should I pay for something that might not ever happen? Well, you can put that same philosophy in health insurance. You can put it into life insurance. Why do we do that? Well, we do it to prepare for the future. And that's what I want to talk about today, preparing for your future, for when we have bad storms, can we prepare to take care of ourselves? Sure we can. Maybe not entirely, but each of us can prepare a disaster kit, which will be useful in the event of, we do have something to do after evacuate. you don't have to be paranoid to see the reasoning behind that. You know, you can build up an emergency food and supply kit, and every year you can add a little bit. Whether, you know, whether you live in an area that's prone to severe storms or natural disasters, or live in an area you think is safe, it's always wise to hope for the best, to plan for the worst. Today, what I thought we'd do is we'd put together an essential kit, something we need to do for that particular event. Most items that we'll talk about today would be beneficial and necessary for any disaster. However, some of them are obviously needed for one specific kind, such as emergency flashlight, equals a severe storm. The natural disasters that this show today will talk about are basically flooding, fire, tornadoes, or something of that nature. Even hurricanes, we're not that far away from the hurricane area. And you know, severe droughts also strike our area. If you kept up with the news the last couple of days, there's two major 25,000-acre fires plus burning in the Texas Panhandle. What if that hit down in this area? Think about the houses, the people that were evacuated. Think about what happened down in the area of Bastrop not only about 4 or 5 years ago. So we have to prepare for things like that. Anything that we do that can help minimize our ability to not survive, we need to do. Now, one of the things they're talking about, one of the things I thought about, is the first thing you need to do is you need to have a three-day water supply stored in your house, and hopefully a three-day supply period of items that you're going to need. You know, decide where each one of your family members should go in the event of emergency. Remember that roads and freeways may be jammed or flooded, and power may be out during this time. Many times during our emergency, you know, especially in this area, local telephones, if people have local telephones anymore, are overcrowded. And even cell phone towers, which most of us use now, will be bogged down past capacity. You know, and in your survival backpack or your suitcase, whichever you determine you need, put you a good pair of old walking shoes in there, something that you could put on and walk if you had to walk. There's nothing worse than being out in the middle of a disaster and you see people walking all the time barefooted. There's going to be glass, there's going to be metal, and no matter what else that's out there that's going to hurt you. You know, before the disaster happens, plan a safe route to be able to leave your area in your house. You know, this is not my intent to ask anybody to be a prepper. If you want to be a prepper, that's your business. However, you know, we can learn from the preppers knowing that they're prepared for any disaster that comes up. We need to also prepare for disasters. Every little bit of help, every little bit of thing you do can help you in the future. Build a family disaster plan kit. In this kit, you should have food, water, some basic survival needs, some camping gear, and also include a good first aid kit that has some medications, some sanitation supplies, a source of light and heat for cooking and warmth. You're going to need all these things in case we have a major outbreak. Think about what happened last year down in Houston with Harvey. There's people still out of their homes. But of a short time, people were out of their homes 3 to 4 days, didn't know where to go, what to do, shelters were overcrowded. Have things in your abilities that you can protect yourself with. Another item that you need, I think, put into your emergency supply kit is some water purification tablets. You can get that at any supply store. You can get them at a camping supply store. You can get them at Academy. You can order them online. You know, it's hoped that there'll never be a disruption in the water supply system. But if there is, life-sustaining water is absolutely essential, folks. Other items that you should be including in your kit include some eyeglasses if you wear them, heart or other critical medications. Put some medicine away and put it in that kit. And people say, well, it's going to expire. Medications don't necessarily expire right away. You know, you need to update your kids as you go, though, but I'll be the first to admit that. It's also vital to remember that during a disaster, if the power fails, it can be out for an extended period of time. I know that about 15 or 20 years ago, some type of storm came through Temple, and there was power out for over 7 days in some areas of the town. And we never think about that happening. You know, your traffic lights, your ATM machines, your gas station pumps, and your phones, your cordless phones, your chargers won't work. So you got to prepare for that. A small home generator with an ample supply of gasoline stored in a safe place and a safe container can help eliminate some of those worries. Generators aren't expensive anymore. And all these things, will back up what you need. What you need to help yourself and protect yourself. If you, and one of the things you can do as your power goes out is just minimize the number of times you open and close your refrigerator. You know, the food in there will hold for a good while until you can maybe get a generator or the electricity comes back up. The key to anything like this, folks, is to plan ahead. You know, have your extension cord, your gasoline, anything you need, you think that you're going to protect yourself with or your area with, have it ahead of time. It's the key to being safe during a natural or a man-made disaster is knowledge. You know, since 9/11, and that's kind of what started everything about taking care of yourself. But since 9/11, the world has changed dramatically. You know, we'd like to think our government is going to take care of us during a calamity. However, the degree of how the government can take care of us is still in question, if you ask me. Look what happened during Harvey. And true, during Harvey, there were tons and tons of people that were there to help. That was Texans, that was surrounding states. The government assistance was minimized. The money only goes so far. And at that same time, they were having disasters in Florida. So you have to take care of yourselves. You know, it's up to each individual person to take care of their own basic needs as best they can. I don't care. We don't expect the government to take care of us. It's up to us. It's always best to have a plan and not need it than need it and not have a plan. The number one issue is not panic during a natural disaster. It's going to be hard not to panic, though. If you plan ahead, you know what to do. Any reason to rational response to any kind of emergency will enable you to assist others as well as your own family. If you looked around Harvey and you saw the TV reports, look at all the people that were helping each other, the next-door neighbors that were helping the elderly. That's what we're supposed to do in this country. We're supposed to help other people. We're supposed to help each other. You know, they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Plan for the worst again, expect the best. You know, I have to admit that the idea of having a kid first came out, I was very skeptical of the idea and the need. But see and look at what's happened around us. It's become less skeptical, and I've developed a large kid of my own that would help allow my family to at least take care of themselves for 2 weeks. That's not expensive to do. And in the last few minutes I've got, let me tell you a couple of things that you need in that kit. Number one, you're going to need batteries. Get you something that is battery operated. You know, I hear people say, well, I got rechargeable batteries. How are you going to recharge them if you don't have power? You're only going to be able to recharge them if you got a generator. Put some warm blankets in there. Put a basic tool kit, a wrench, screwdriver, nails, hammers. You never can tell when you might need to fix something on an emergency basis. The number one thing I think you have need in your kit is the number one thing we use to fix everything in this world. Pliers and duct tape. Put duct tape in there. You know, put you some needle and thread. You say, why needle and thread? Well, folks, as bad as it may sound, you might have to sew up your own injuries. You may have to sew up a cut. Put a shovel in there, a strong rope, a small propane stove, some small pots and pans. You didn't need the large one. Look what the campers who climb Mount Everest use. They use one little burner and one little pot. And sometimes that's all you need. You know, but once again, get you some water purification tablets. You need some extra containers of gasoline somewhere around in case you run out. Put it in a safe container, though. You know, and this is one of the things a lot of people don't like to do. Put some emergency cash back. Put that somewhere where you know where it's at. It may not be but a couple $100. You may say, well, I'll go down to the ATM to get that if I need it. There's not going to be electricity. There may not be roadways open. And if it was to be martial law, you couldn't get about anyway. In your kit, though, you need to have also a good first aid kit. Put some ibuprofen, Tylenol, some anti-diarrhea pills, etc. You need some sterile bandages, some gauze, some ACE bandages, some disinfectant cream, and some burn ointment. These are things that are really important in a kit that's going to help you get through and take care of yourself. You know, a lot of people say you need a gallon of water a day for every person, and I have to agree with that. Not to be wasted, that's water that's only for you to drink. A lot of people think that's a lot of water. You can get by with less, but why do that when you don't have to? You know, we may never need to have an emergency kit necessary. There may never be a time when we need that. But if you do need it and don't have it, then it's going to be devastating. You know, MREs, you can get those in the Army surplus store. You can order them online.
put several days worth of those in your kit. They don't taste like a lot, but they've got a lot of carbs and they'll get you through. It's just taking care of yourself. You know, and like I said earlier, when we talk about insurance, and we talked about insurance, a lot of people say that they don't need a kit. Well, your kit is more important than a lot of things that you have around your house. There's going to be a time, I'm here to tell you, in Texas, there's going to be a time when your power is going to be out. We're going to be hit by storms. We pray they're not going to be storms that are going to kill people, but it's going to happen. It is going to happen. So, you folks, you need to do what you can. You need to be the best and prepare for what you can. As I say, and the old saying goes, beware the Ides of March. We're right in the Ides of March right now. And things go bad, things go wrong sometimes. So just be prepared. Have your kit together. Have a something that you understand is going to be your survival needs. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. So until next week, what I'll do is I'll sign off today with a little one more good old Irish verb or Irish saying. There's fish in the sea better than have ever been caught. Remember that. And last but not least, it is often that a person's mouth broke his nose. Think about that for a minute. Have a great week, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. March 17, 2018. We're still here live for the next 40 minutes, and we're in our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot reiterate it enough. If you enjoy this show, I know I do. I think it's great. I just love to get out all this information. But if you enjoy listening to the show and you want to stay on the air, it's necessary to support the sponsors because the sponsors support me. And ANC Firearms is one of them. Longtime friend, Arch Kuntz is the owner. He's got a great staff there. He's got Clint, Mike, Dennis, and great variety of firearms and accessories, and they can get you pretty much almost anything you want, unless it's one of those hot, crazy deals where everybody wants it and it's limited in supply. But they can probably even do that, find it sooner or later. But today, give them a call, 254-983-4417. They got pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotgun ammo, everything you can think of. But today, the last few weeks, we've had really interesting types of firearms as compared to, you know, general firearms. And this week is no different. We've got the Uzi pistol in 22 long rifle. And this is a neat little thing. I've seen the Uzi rifle, and I've shot actual Uzis. They're just a great, great weapon, solid as a rock. And we're going to be talking about the Uzi pistol. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me holding the weapon there in a couple different angles so you can get a good idea of what it looks like. And I'm going to read an article from AmericanRifleman.org. However, this article was written for the rifle, but the basics of the pistol are the same. So I'm going to dissect the article to pertain to the pistol. And this was by, let's see, who is this from? I don't have the author's name. It's the AmericanRifleman.org. So let me read it to you now. The Uzi submachine gun is one of the most iconic firearms of the 20th century. Semi-automatic only carbines firing from a closed bolt and chambered in 9mm Luger were imported beginning in 1981, but ceased altogether in 89 with the executive import ban. Now guns bearing the Uzi trademark are back, this time as semi-automatic only carbines and pistols chambered in the 22 long rifle. Made under license from Israeli Weapon Industries, that's IWI, the Uzi pistol is a straight blowback operated rimfire designed and manufactured by Carl Walther in Germany and imported by its subsidiary Umarex USA of Fort Smith, Arkansas. Umarex, they got some good stuff. It mimics the lines and weight of the gun designed by, I hope I say his name right, Uzil Gal? Does that sound right, Trey? Well, you got Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. I'm assuming you pronounce it like that. But it's completely different in its construction. Where the original's receiver was made of steel stampings, the Walther-made gun makes use of precision aluminum castings. Like previous guns reviewed here, made by Walther Umarex, such as the HK-MP-522 and Colt 22, the Uzi is a blend of materials, polymer for the pistol grip and integral trigger guard, steel for the barrel sleeve and buttstock, then beefy aluminum castings for the majority of the receiver. The well-mated receiver halves are held together by two large screws whose recesses also serve as quick connect points for the rotating sling swivel. The non-reciprocating charging handle is on the receiver's top. Its slides are knurled and its center is notched to allow viewing of the front sight. The top cover is removed after depressing the release and the base of at the rear sight. Underneath is a cosmetic black polymer cover is its bolt, which has a steel lower portion with two lugs on either side that mate with guide rails in the receiver's interior. Pinned to the lower bolt is a die-cast assembly that adds weight and has circular recesses that guides the bolt's travel along the recoil spring guide rod. The coil recoil spring behind the bolt is retained at its rear by a backplate. There is also a buffer at the bolt's rear. Now, this is me talking again. People ask me, why do you read all these deals? Because there's some people who are truly interested in this and they got to hear key components. So sooner or later, your gun's going to come on air and you're going to want to hear the same thing. So that's why we break it down like this. Back to the article. The two-position manual safety is on the top of the polymer pistol's grip's left, and pressing its polymer button rearward to the S position blocks the trigger. There is also a grip safety on the pistol's grip right at the back of it, which must be fully depressed for the gun to fire. Sights, too, are faithful to the original. Protected by the sight ears front and back, the rear is a two-position aperture flip, while the front is a post. Elevation adjustments are made by depressing the detent adjacent to the front post and turning it up or down. While the fake windage knob is on the rear sight protector's right, actual adjustments are made by a screw on the left rear sight ear. Also, under the polymer two-piece handguard is a strip of Picatinny rail, and it's cast into the weapon's front, allowing for mounting of lasers, lights, and other accessories. Magazine removal is via the release on the pistol grip's right side. Depressing its bottom allows the fire to rip the magazine down and out of the gun. Magazines do not drop free from their own weight. Made entirely of polymer, save it save for its magazine spring, the 20-round capacity detachable box magazine mimics the lines of the original, but has a thumb latch for the follower on its right side. The Uzi digested and fired everything we fired. The firing pits were solid, and the gun continued to fire reliably, even when heavily fouled. Accuracy was impressive considering the use of iron sights. The Uzi pistol can provide hours and hours of range time and mere pennies around. Now, it's manufactured by Carl Walther from Germany. Importer is Umarex, Chambering's 22 long rifle, aluminum receiver, 20-round mag. And you can get yours at ANC Firearms. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. And go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. There's a picture of me holding it there. It's pretty neat. It's a neat little gun. I've fired this one before, and I fired the rifle. And it's just a lot of fun. I've got the MP5 in 22. I've got other guns that Umarex makes, and it's just... it's a really good gun. I've never had a problem with it. But just as a reminder, you want to make sure you use good ammunition, high-velocity ammo. It just has more oomph to the round, and when you fire, it makes the gun cycle the way it's supposed to. If you use a weaker type of ammo, you might have malfunction problems. It's nothing wrong with the gun. It just didn't have enough energy to push the bolt to the rear. So make sure, look at the manual, see what they suggest, play with it, see what kind of ammo it feeds. And most of the time, it's going to feed pretty much anything unless you have the real cheap stuff. So check it out. At ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Give them a call. Go in there in person. Buy it. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Support the sponsors who support the show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to do kind of like a PSA here. I don't know if you've heard, hopefully you have by now, that the package bombs down in Austin, packages placed on people's porches and people move them and they explode and a couple people have been killed. Well, I saw an article here. I just wanted to read it and just get everybody up to speed here on what's going on. And the odds of it happening around here, I don't know anymore. Because the way the media promotes it, stupid people may copycat it. So because of that, and because it has happened in the past, that's why I'm going to bring it up again here. I want you to be at least aware of it and tell you what's going on. So this is from, who wrote this? Adam Salazar, law enforcement source. This is from a law enforcement source. Austin package bombs are pressure activated. Assemble on the doorsteps. Law enforcement leaks information to protect the public, similar to IEDs used in the Middle East. The bombs, which are reported as being pressure plated or pressure activated explosives, are similar in design and function to IEDs used in the Middle East. A security officer is not disclosing who he is because they just want to get it out there without revealing information as to who said it. But basically, the guy doing them has to go to the location, has to then sit there, arm the bomb, and tape it closed. He's not arming them somewhere and then bringing them. It's a pressure plate, per se, with a heavy object on top of it. It's unbalanced so that when you move the box, whatever's on the plate falls off, and that activates the bomb and makes it go off. The bomb maker is believed to be inexperienced and risks hurting himself. It's super simple. It's super rudimentary. This is not a professional building bomb. This is a jerk who just doesn't know what he's doing, and hopefully he blows himself up, okay? Asked where similar bombs have been used, the head of security referenced overseas conflicts. It's a Middle East thing. They used to do it like that. It was originally used when soldiers go in and search things and move things that would set it off. While the FBI, ATF, and Austin PD have yet to describe the bomb in detail, the source close to the investigation says they've decided to leak the information to protect the public. Austin residents are spooked, with Austin PD having received hundreds of calls concerning suspicious packages. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. When I went home the other day, there was a package on my porch, and I wasn't thinking. I was about to pick it up. I go, whoa, package not delivered by UPS, FedEx, Grant, whatever. It's just a package on my porch. I'm like, oh, because I'm up to speed with the news, I looked at it, I go, okay, let me check this out. Well, nothing happened. But what you do is if you got a package on your porch and you don't know where it's coming from, slow down. This is 2018. We got a lot of nutcases out there and we don't know what they're going to do. So protect yourself, be aware, be alert, and take that extra step before you pick up the package and check it out to the best of your ability just to ensure you don't blow yourself up. All right, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, my special guest will be moi. It will be me. We'll see you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We're here for about another 27 minutes, and to my center, I have myself as special guest. Nobody wanted to play this week, so it's going to be me. But I wanted to go over some things I've been wanting to go over for a while. And that topic is going to be purchasing a handgun. I've had a lot of people ask me in times, what's the best gun for me? And I go, I don't know. Let's ask you the right questions so you come up with the right answers and you actually answer your own questions. So what I've got here, take some notes. Now, here's the other thing, too. On probably Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, it all depends on how busy the schedule is, we'll have this up as a video so you can watch it. So you're going to listen today, take down some notes. I've got 10 points and then a bonus one, but take down some notes. And then if you have to, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the YouTube channel, and check out the video when we're done, okay? So let's start off with this. People ask me, well, gee, what does it take to get a gun, or what kind of gun is right for me? Well, I broke it down into 10 points plus a bonus, and I've got these flashcards. So the flashcard number one, and I'm going to put it up to the screen, is the price. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot emphasize enough. You must have a price in mind. Let me give you an example. Somebody says, I need to get a gun. I want to get a gun. And I say, well, how much are you willing to spend? And they go, well, it doesn't matter. I go, oh, really? $1,000? I go, no, I can't spend it. Then it matters. It makes a big difference. So when you're asking me or you're asking somebody what kind of or a gun to buy, the first question must be, has to be, How much are you willing to spend? What's your top dollar? And here's why. There are so many guns out there. I mean, the way things used to be is not the same. There's so many guns out there, and each model has its different variation. So for you to say, I need a gun and price is an object, that opens up the door to hundreds of guns. But if you tell me I can't go past $400, I just took off a whole bunch of guns from the list. It helps me to focus in, okay? You must have a price in mind that you do not want to exceed so that we can narrow it down and get you the best choice within the price that you can afford. So that's number one. Number two is caliber. What caliber do you want? Now, some people may not know what caliber. So that's when we have to discuss it. But sometimes they say, well, I definitely want a 45. I've heard about it. I read about it. Or I definitely want a 9mm. Or I want a 3, whatever. Okay? If they have a caliber in mind, or if you have a caliber in mind, that's a great start. Sometimes, though, people are economic about it, and they say, well, I know 45s are very expensive as compared to 9mm. You can buy a box of 50 round of 45, I'm guessing, at Academy or something for about $25 a box, unless they got them on sale. 9mm, about 10 bucks a box. That's a big difference. And plenty of people have been stopped and killed with 9mm. So don't even give me this thing about 9mm can't do the job. It's all shot placement. So caliber is very important. If you're a petite person, you might want to smaller gun. And back in the day, the smaller guns were 380s. But now, because of with all the new materials that they have, they can get a 9mm in a small gun and it works well. Okay. Glock 43 would be a perfect example of that. After that, then we go to step number three. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a pistol or do you prefer a revolver? Let's make clear what the definition or the difference is between the two. A revolver, I think we all know, it's a wheel gun. You cock the hammer, pull the trigger, and it rotates. With a pistol, it's an automatic. A pistol is you put the magazine in the gun, you rack the slide. It's that type of gun as compared to a revolver. So what do you prefer? Do you have weak hands? Can you not really manipulate the slide of an automatic pistol? Do you not want to think when it comes time to use the gun? That's why we call them idiot guns. A revolver is an idiot gun, especially a revolver without a hammer. It's called a double action only. If you pick up one of those, all you do once it's loaded is pick it up, pull the trigger, and it fires. An automatic, you might have to do take off safeties or other things to get the gun up and running. So you got to decide what works best for you. Do you want a pistol or a revolver? Now, this one's interesting. Step number four. What's the gun going to be used for? Is it for home defense? Is it for personal defense? Or is it for both? If you're not financially blessed at the moment to be able to get a gun for each situation, you might have to do double duty on a gun, one for both home and one for personal defense. But let's break it down. If you need a gun for the home, I highly recommend you get the biggest gun you can handle, and absolutely recommend a firearm with a light rail on it, an accessory rail, a Picatinny rail. If the gun is for home defense, you need to have a light on it. You have to have a light on it. I mean, you don't have to, but I'm telling you, you need to have a light on it. Because the last thing you want to be doing is having a gun in one hand and a flashlight in another, when you could have a gun in one hand with the flashlight attached to it and a phone in the other, or your hand being able to turn doorknobs or protect yourself. So if it's for home defense, get the biggest one you can. If it's for personal defense, it all depends on your size and who you are. Like Trey is a large guy. He can handle anywhere from a small to a large gun. It all depends on his personal preference. But if you're more of a petite woman, we'll say, you're probably going to want a smaller gun. Now, if it's for both because you're financially not able to get one for each, you'll probably want to get a midsize. And I'll give you an example. And this is not what I'm saying to get. I'm just saying this is an example. You have a Glock 17 and you have a Glock 19. And I'm going to screw this up. You got the micro Glock. I can't remember the number of it. But it's a 9mm as well. So you got the Glock 17 is a full-size gun. The Glock 19 is a little bit shorter. And then you got the micro 9mm Glock. Well, the 19 is like that one. It's just right. It's got the flashlight rail on it. It's got a little shorter grip. It's got a shorter barrel. So you can still use it for home defense, but you could, if necessary, carry it for concealment. The only thing is, Glocks like that are like bricks. unless you get the Glock 43, which is a single stack, makes it skinnier, okay? So think about that. Is the gun for home defense? Is it for self-defense? Or is it for a combination of the two? Step number five, action type.
Yes.
I teach this in my class, and people look at me weird, thinking, why are we doing this? And once the class or that segment's done, they go, oh, I get it. Action type. Action type is extremely important to know, understand, and pick the right one. Let me clarify. If you've got an old cowboy gun, John Wayne gun, six shooter, single action gun, the action on it, you got to cock the hammer, pull the trigger every time. That's called a single action. Let's say you have a revolver, a police revolver. It's got a hammer and a trigger. That's a double action. I can either cock the hammer and pull the trigger or just pull the trigger. And then you've got the double action onlys where all you can do is pull the trigger to make it operate. The difference is, and let me use one more gun. The 1911 is a single action type of gun. Single action guns have a much shorter trigger pull than double action guns. If you do not practice with a double action gun, you have a big tendency to pull the gun or push the gun with your trigger finger. A single action gun, because it's got such a short trigger pull, it's less movement on the gun. The less the gun moves, the more accurate the shot. So what kind of action do you want? You have to have an understanding of the actions, and I can teach you that if you don't know. Another part of that equation is the next one, and that's step number six. What's the size of your palm? How big is your palm? If you have a very small palm, how are you going to wrap around a double stack type of grip on a gun? You might need a single stack where the grip is skinnier. So you got to figure out, look at my palms. I got a very large palm. Can you see that? It's shown on the video. Large palm, and I got long fingers. So I can pretty, actually, a small gun almost is detrimental to me as compared to a larger gun because I can handle it. But when you have the palm size, the other thing that goes with it, I have to tell you first before we go any further, is the finger length, the length of your fingers. If you have a large palm and long fingers, you can pretty much fit any type of gun with a double action trigger, a single action trigger, a double stack grip, a single stack grip, doesn't matter. But if you got small palms and short fingers, you might not be able to wrap around the gun properly and get your finger to a double action trigger. You might need a single stack gun with a single action trigger so you can reach the gun. It all depends. That's why we got to figure out and understand it. So when you go to pick up a gun and you have the basic fundamentals of how to handle the gun, you know which one's going to work best for you. Now, sights. In self-defense shooting, ladies and gentlemen, I don't use no stinking sights, okay? They're a detriment to me, but a little further out, you might need sights. So what kind do you like? Do you like them when they're dot over dot, three dots in a row, square U with a dot in the middle, fluorescent, night sights, the whole works. So what kind do you want? That's a consideration too. The more elaborate you get, the more the price goes up on the gun. An example would be night sights. Safeties. This is step number nine, safeties. A revolver doesn't have a safety. The only safety the revolver has is your brain and your finger. Keep your finger off the trigger and only shoot it when you have to. A 1911, for example, it's got a grip safety. I'm showing it in the video. A grip safety, and it's got a slide safety. You have to manipulate those things. So if you're not too familiar and you're not going to do a lot of training, you might want an idiot gun where you just load it and pull the trigger, and the safety is the 8 to 12 pound trigger pull on the trigger, and you're not putting your finger on the trigger and your mental attitude towards it. So safeties. Do you want safeties on the gun or not? Step 10. Lasers and lights. Absolutely get a light. Lasers. If you're a Johnny wannabe, don't do it. If you do not know how to use a laser, don't put it on the gun. All I can say is because of lack of time, trust me. If you put a laser on your gun, you're going to try and beat the laser and your shots are going to be, they're not going to be worth anything. Trust me. If you got a light, that helps out a lot. Lasers are fantastic for mental warfare, psychological warfare. They're excellent if you're injured, but you have to learn how to use them. The laser works directly with trigger pull. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to try and beat the laser, and the gun, the shot is going to go low. Low left, low right, depending if you're left or right-handed. It happens almost 99% of the time. I've seen it all too much. There's a trick to it. So if you want to learn the trick, come see me. The bonus, step number 11 here, I guess, is the bonus, is your attitude. what's your attitude towards buying this gun? Are you just playing around? Are you joking around? Are you a wannabe? Are you thinking that just because you get a license and a gun, it's all over, you're done, you're protected? Well, let me tell you something. If that's your attitude, don't get the gun. You're going to be a danger to yourself and everybody else. Your attitude must be, I have a very powerful weapon in my hand. It must be utilized with discretion. You must know what you're doing. You must learn the laws. You must learn yourself, your mind, and operation. And remember, my formula, M plus M equals RT. Mindset plus the understanding, the mechanics of the weapon will give you RT, and that's response time. The better you are with M and M, the shorter the response time will be. You'll be able to utilize your firearm and get it to do what it has to do in a much shorter amount of time. Okay? All right, so that's the 10 steps. We're going to have that on video. And Trey, I know you're looking to purchase a gun. Was there anything, questions you got that maybe I didn't address and people might like to hear about?
I think my biggest concern, I think probably today's also, is what's going to fit us. You know, is it going to be a heavier, more powerful handgun? Is it going to be something that's sort of... The catch all like the 9, or is it going to be something smaller? What's going to fit my? I mean, I'm a big guy. Really. Mm-hmm. We've noted that several times. Well, am I going to run around with a Desert Eagle? No, that's ridiculous.
You get
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Desert Eagle, I believe, is overkill. I mean, a lot of people do it because it's a gun that can raise up in value. It's fun to shoot and all that kind of stuff. But to carry it practically, unless you're Agent Smith, you know, it doesn't really work out too well.
But what I can conceal is going to be different than what, say, you know, your average size person can conceal, just because I have more real estate to conceal it in.
Well, let's say you got 1911s, because 1911s come in a whole bunch of different sizes and calibers, right? Let's say you're shooting a 9mm and you don't like how you handle it. You like the slower punch of a 45. Then it's just a matter of personal preference. Some people can't handle a 40 caliber. I tell people a lot that it's got a little bit more pop than you think, especially in a small compact gun. So when I get a young lady or an older woman specifically who may have a little bit more delicate hands and they've got a smaller compact 40 caliber, that's going to pop. It's a high velocity round with some punch as compared to a 9mm round. So it's basically the gun shape, the gun size, that's kind of easy. Unless you go and shoot different calibers, you may not know, and you may not be happy by the time you purchase the gun. So, which is a great point to say, come on out to Aaron's Gun Shop Friday nights, because there's so many guns out there, and people are so willing. If you go up to him and say, hey, can I try your gun? Sure, go ahead. What caliber is that? Oh, yeah, let me check it out. Let me see if I like it or not.
Personally, so. I think I'm leaning more towards something with a heavier frame, just because of it cuts down a bit on recoil, because you have less weight, or you have more weight to help offset that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help you stay on target more in multiple shot situations.
Yes. Now, if you plan on carrying a gun like that, just remember, everybody, a gun is not comfortable. A gun is comforting. So when you have a heavier gun, I'll give you another example of 1911s. I've got two. I've got one solid steel here, and I've got another with an aluminum frame. Obviously, the aluminum frame one is a lot easier to carry than the steel one. So you got to keep that in consideration, too. So all these different points. So ladies and gentlemen, this video is going to be up probably Tuesday, Wednesday. You can check it out. If you have any questions, give us a call here, 254-697-6633, and I'll be more than happy to answer your questions. But there's a gun out there for everybody. There's something out there in the price ranges, in the quality, the caliber, the size, the shape, whatever you're looking for. There's enough out there that you can find what you need. So, Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, I might do another announcement, and then we're going to have Master Cindy Key do her thing.
Yeah.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We got about 7-8 minutes left here, and I wanted to touch on an article or the double homicide that happened in Temple. You probably heard about it, read it in the news, heard it on the news. I'm just going to touch a few points here real quick just to get everybody up to speed on my comment. A Temple double homicide suspect was captured Thursday afternoon in Harker Heights after an extensive countywide search by law enforcement officers. Theodore Dwayne Sims, 47, was identified Thursday morning as the suspect in the slayings of two men Wednesday night at the O'Reilly Auto Parts in Temple. Sims was arrested about 2:19 p.m. at 2:19 p.m. at a gas station on the 2000 block of Harker Heights Drive or Heights Drive in Harker Heights. Sims also is a suspect in a reported aggravated assault at the Napa Auto Parts in Belton prior to the killings, authorities said. Continuing, bodies discovered during the welfare check. Officers were sent at 11:34 p.m. Wednesday night for a welfare check at O'Reilly's and found that two men were dead in the building. Belton store assault reported. Sims was also identified Wednesday night in an aggravated assault at the Napa Auto Parts in Belton. Sims was a former employee who was recently fired from the newly opened store. He showed up at closing time with a shotgun and pointed the weapon at two employees who ran away. Sims then got in his car and left. No shots were fired, so on and so forth. The reason I'm reading this, ladies and gentlemen, is because I have issue with any employer or business that takes away my right to defend myself, especially in the days that we live in. So if you're an employer or a business that posts signs to the public that says you cannot go in there with a firearm, this is what I say to y'all, the listening audience. Do not go in there. That's my opinion. Take your money somewhere else. That is a victim disarmament zone. Anything can happen. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I gave you a long list of places that are banning guns, and you have mass shootings there. There have never been shootings, or I shouldn't say never, mass shootings at gun shops, police stations, where the guns are. So if an employer takes away my right, yeah, it's your decision if you're going to continue to work there. But the point is this. You're so freaking worried about your bottom line and insurance. What about worrying about your people? You got these people, two dead in O'Reilly's, and you had two almost got blown away by a shotgun at Napa because of your ignorant policy of no guns because we don't do that or we're against it or whatever. So I wanted to highlight that and say that if you see a gun sign, a 30-06 or a 30-07, or I should actually say if they don't allow any guns in their period, whether concealed or open, just stay away from those businesses. Protest them. Take your money somewhere else. Money talks, okay? Now, I'll shut up because I have the awesome Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale here, ready to beat me up again, I guess, with a new tactic. Miss Key, welcome, and what are you going to do to me today?
Well, we're going to talk about, we've been talking about open hand techniques, so we'll talk about the different punches that are available
to you. All right, we're setting up the screen here. Open punches, you said?
Close fist punches.
Okay.
I like open hands for myself. I would use punches, but I wanted to show the different kind of punches that are available, and we all... Like, Matt has all the different kinds of guns and rifles and stuff that we can use for our self-defense. We have different kinds of punches. One is just a regular straight punch. You always want to hit with these two. You close your fist, wrap your thumb around your fingers, and the two knuckles, the first two knuckles on your hand next to the thumb are the ones you hit with. If you hit with these last two, which a lot of people will curve their punch and they'll do a hook punch and then they'll hit somebody in the jaw or in the chin and that's a really hard bone. And then these bones right here in your hand can fracture. And I've seen it twice in my class with men punching wrong. Not women, by the way. This is the men. Women are more careful with their hands, I think. But this is just a straight punch.
I'm glad about that.
Right. It's a straight punch. Same thing with an uppercut. You still want to use these two knuckles here. You come up, the uppercut can also be used on the ribs or the solar plexus or even the groin, depending on how low you want to go. A hammer fist punch, I think I've talked about this before, is the bottom of your hand, the soft part. And a general rule is something soft on something hard or something hard on something soft. So this is a pretty good technique to use on something hard like a jaw. I like hitting this area right here or the temple. And especially this, because the only time I ever knocked my instructor down was when I did a hammer fist on him on the carotid artery, and he dropped like a rock. And I thought he was playing, but he wasn't playing. He said, give me an ibuprofen and class is over.
So what is that doing? It's just like taking the oxygen?
It pushes the blood up into the head and gives you a really, really bad headache. I've been kicked there, and it gives you a really bad headache. So we have the uppercuts, the hammer fist, the straight punches. Then we have my favorite is the reverse punch, which comes off the back. So if I switch my stance, this is my back, my right leg is behind me, and then I can totally turn all my body weight in and really drive that punch. We also have a one knuckle punch. I did that because most people don't think it really works, especially if it's
it works.
And that's just if you're really close, you can still get it, and you just angle your fist.
You're doing that Bruce Lee 1-inch punch, man. Oh, we don't need to do it again. They got it on video, okay?
Well, I'm just saying, a woman, people sometimes don't think the things that I use work. But so we have that small punch. We also have three more punches. There's a four-knuckle punch, which I would use on the throat, or on the ribs, or the solar plexus, or maybe even in the groin, but mine would mostly be here, because, see, he doesn't have very much, so if I try to punch him here, my fist's really not going to work, and if I don't remember to turn my fist, and even that's, for me, I have a small hand, but that's still wide, but once I do this, it makes it more narrow, and these are still very hard on something very soft. So that's the four-knuckle punch.
And you know the immediate reaction is going to be, oh,
sure.
And once he does that, then...
Then I just do whatever else I want after that. But there's two one-knuckle punches, and one is you bend your forefinger, and you make it stand out a little bit more from the second finger, and then you put your thumb in there, and you support that forefinger. And this is for hitting pressure points. I can hit here, I can hit the temple, I can even go for the throat. So this is just a small little area, but it's for like getting a reaction so that you can maybe do something else. The other one is you use the middle finger, and then all these fingers come in here, and it's almost like the one knuckle punch.
Oh, I can feel that right there.
It'll really dig in. It's a little bit stands out a little bit more than the four knuckle punch. But I mean, these are just different things that you can use. I do want to say that I don't care what kind of martial arts you do. There's no wrong self-defense. If you don't know any martial arts, do something.
Something. That's right.
Do something.
Just keep telling how to get a hold of you.
Okay, 254-721-2775. Come see me.
Keep your powder dry and God bless.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Blue Emu.
I'm Bill Raycom. From Savannah to Chicago, from the West Coast to New York, Irish Americans and the Weekend Irish have donned the green on this St. Patrick's Day. WBBM's Mike Krauser is in Chicago.
The Chicago River is a luminescent emerald green, a uniquely Chicago tradition started by the Plumbers Union.
The dye that we use was used for leak detection in large buildings.
Ann says the union's Pat Fitzgerald, the formula is a closely held secret.
Well, we like to keep that under tight wraps. We, you know, otherwise everybody would be dyeing everything green.
It's an exceptional tradition.
Sally Daly, among the thousands.